I just want to take my half an hour and let you guys go home early today. But talk about the teams. Bob, last coaches meeting, Bob mentioned about setting new, and so he caused a lot of what are we going to. So this morning or this afternoon, I want to talk about where we are with teams and kind of direction, vision of the future, where we want to go. But we did some assessment. We've sat with each coach and assessed and went through some questions. And so we've gathered all that information, and I'll be sharing with you kind of some major points as we go along. But Bob asked me months ago, I've been working with Matt and Randy, this has been going on for a while, to look at our teams and how do we move our teams into more of a cell concept, which is more, cell concept is more multiplication, leadership development and all this. So we've been working on this, looking at how can we improve our teams, what can we do always better. We're always trying to improve, right? That's life. We should always be trying to do things better. And based on my background, before I came to Northwood, worked in the cell churches, especially in Central and South America, and trained by them in aspects of cells. Around the world, the teams, they call it cells, is one of the most powerful methods of church ever invented. I mean, Jesus started it, really. He invented the whole 12 system. But an idea is that church really functions within small groups. Like Sunday is really, we come to celebrate, we come to hear the word of God, but that is not really church. But we have this idea that we go to church, you know, we our language tells us, I'm going to church, I'm leaving the church. No, you're not. You are the church. Where the church is entering the building, and then the church leaves the building. And so it's even though it sounds simple, but we live thinking that's the church. So this afternoon, I want to talk about a little bit about what we found, currently what we've done, and where we're heading as far as that direction. Eddie Leo, who you've met, has been mentoring us. His church is a cell church. All the leaders that we meet globally have cell churches. And he's been actually asking us, you have to look at your name, even your name, teams or coaches, but maybe in the future, he'll be here next month. He's encouraging us to go through a cell because the metaphor is more multiplication life. So we're thinking about T cells. Anybody know what T cells are? We like T, transform. The word transform is our big word. So T cells, is that a good thing, Chris, T cells? Is that positive? Yeah, we need T cells. So it's T cells is really the cells that fights infection and all that good stuff. But here's the idea is that how can we, what can we do to create more of a multiplication effect in our teams? What can we do to enhance our teams? Where is God taking us? Let me just quickly explain to you after the assessment. What we did was we had to define what a team is, right? And so just so that you know what we did is that teams, we took all the things we call teams and divided into two different divisions or departments. One, a team, you're here as a coach, a team is a small group with a leader that meets once a week and participates in tea life, which is, you know, up, in, and out. That's kind of what we did. One coach, small group, weekly, and leadership, moving towards doing tea life together. We have another component of our church that we've put into the category of programs, like the big Bible studies. For example, the big Bible studies or specialty programs, which is Crown, Financial Peace, all these tend to fall into the category of more of a program. So what we did was divide and move teams to, we define teams as a small group and then these big as programs. Now, I'm not against programs, but we're saying programs are, they're also useful in the church. They help to edify, support, and do all these things so that you know we have done that. Matt works with me in managing, looking at all the specialty groups, programs such as Crown, CR, and Bible studies that we do. But we're focusing on the small group unit And our vision is to take it from currently where it's at to where God wants it to go. The beauty about it is that we have Eddie Leo, who has functioned that way. His church is a cell church, who's mentoring us. It's said in Real Change, if you want to change anything from a, let's say you want to change the way you do things or change a paradigm, one thing is to hear the information of change or listen to change. We can hear people tell us you've got to change and we want to change, but change is not change until you change. But here's the other important element of change is to see a model, to see how does it work. And for someone that has a model that we can actually see that can help us through those blocks that we have in our mind. So if you really want to change, the most important element of change is to have a model or to see a model. And so Eddie Leo and the church in Jakarta, Abba Love, has a model that we can look at, maybe not copy, because of course context is different, but learn some foundational principles that needs to be applied and can be applied here in the U.S. that can help us grow into more of a cell concept. Let me kind of give you an idea as far as what we're moving from to. Because people go, well, what do you mean by that, Omar? You know, from to what? Here's a few of them. We want to move our team from a meeting to what we call body life. Jordan alluded to it, the body life. The idea that it's not a meeting that I'm going to, but this is the church. This is my church I go to, and this is where I experience body life. There's no way Sunday I can experience body life not looking at the back of your head. Can't, right? But that we move this idea of moving from a meeting to body life, that really the church works and operates within this small unit called body life. Abba Love teaches this simple principle so powerfully because they live it out. And just quickly, next month, April 24th, Saturday, next month, Eddie Leo will be here to kind of unpack this body life concept that I think the church in the West really is beginning to grasp. We train church planters, a lot of young church planters. What we're seeing in church planters now, especially in their 20s, is they really get this, like so quickly. The idea of church is not a big meeting, but it's body life. And it's for us, it's amazing. I know for old guys like Brian, it's hard for him to right, Brian? Like, but because we're caught between the 40s, so we have the 20s, but we see something new and different that God is doing with church planters. I mean, we've been training church planters for a lot of years, and we've gone from, hey, I want to have a big mega church, I want to be a rock star, I want to have 5,000 people in 1 month, I want my name in the magazine, I want to be fastest growing church in the world. I mean, we've got guys that think this way. In the past, that became kind of the model of church. If I can grow a church fast, quickly, I can be a rock star. I can be the guy. Well, I don't see that anymore. It's kind of that idea is dissipating. What we find in the young church planters in the 20-year-olds, they're saying, how do I experience body life? How do we do this? Eddie spoke to them, and boy, you should have seen them. It was like, wow, this is what we desire. We desire to move in this area of body life. Two, moving from a coach concept to a pastor or a shepherd concept. Let me say this. Most of you are doing this. I mean, we're operating in this. I'm just kind of giving you kind of a clearer definition of what we're moving to. From a coach to more of a pastor, shepherd, that we're looking at every cell, every team leader as a pastor and a shepherd. And the requirements are there to be a shepherd. That's your flock, that you need to take care of your flock. Moving from Sunday as point for evangelism to making the group the point of evangelism. That's number three. And this is all a learning process. This is we'll grow together and learn how to do this more effectively. Catching what comes to casting nets. And I want to talk about nets in a little bit. But the idea of catching what comes to the church versus casting a net in society. That's a huge mind shift. Usually if I talk to coaches and I say, how come you have not grown or do you want to multiply? They go, yeah, I want to multiply, I want to grow. Here's the second thing they say, you need to let me into the new members class. Well, that's good. I like that. That's a good pool. If we get new people in a members class, all the coaches, you ought to be going after these people going, you come to my group. But that can't be where we fish. We've got to cast the net out in society. So evangelism takes on more a go instead of a come. Focus on teacher, which we are now, to really focus on leaders as a facilitator. Leader as a teacher, leader as a facilitator. A lot of you that I spoke to are great teachers. Some of you need to be equipping the saints to teach the body. But I'm moving away from I have to be a teacher to lead a team to just a facilitator. If we don't move from teacher, then we won't scale it. You can't grow it. You can't have all kind of groups because people say, well, I'm not a great teacher. Well, I'm not expecting you to be a great teacher. Can you facilitate a conversation? And so moving away from the teacher as that main the characteristics of a team leader, as a teacher, to a facilitator, facilitating what God does. The notes that we'll be producing will help in asking the right questions, facilitating what God is saying. Ephesians 2:10 says this, that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has prepared, what? Beforehand, that we may walk in them. Every person in that group has something to share. God is doing something through the body that we all get to participate in as we open up the discussion saying, what is God saying to you? What is God doing to you? What is he saying to you about this? That moving to that concept as a leader. And we'll train and teach you how to do these things. Very simple concepts. And many of you here that we assessed actually have these gifts of teaching and facilitating. Education is a goal. From education is a goal to edification is the goal. Because we come from, in the West, our groups and our mindset is more education. I've got to give you more information. I'm here as a teacher. What I want to do is download new information to you every week. Moving away from that concept of education to edification, we come together to build the body, to edify the body, to repair the body. And Eddie has a great teaching on this and taught us that edification means to repair, to mend, to build. So when we come together, it's to edify the body. If a part of the body hurts, we're there to help and minister to that. Sunday focus versus self or team focus. These are from two. So from meeting to body life, from a coach to more of a shepherd, from a Sunday as the point for evangelism to the teams or the cells, growth by addition. From growth to addition to growth by multiplication. The only way you move from growth by addition to multiplication is how? How do you move from a growth by addition to growth by multiplication? Huh? That's it. It's the only way. There's no other way. You've got to raise up leaders. Period. If you don't, then you're adding. That's the reason why Jesus he found 12. He said, if I can create and build 12 leaders and teach them to do what I did, we're here today because he did that. I was in Bogota, Colombia years ago. I went there, a church of 200,000. I went primarily to check it out. Like, what does a church of 200 look like? Well, back in Florida, I was also, I pastored youth and children in a church in Florida. And I wanted to know, how do you do children's ministry? How do you do kids' ministry at church? That's how my mind was like this small. And so I'm looking for all this methods and how to do church. And really, the church, the pastor of that church, Cesar Castellanos, had pastored many churches before and couldn't get him past 200 to 300 members. And he went away with the Lord and says, I give this up. I can't do it. I don't know what to do. And the Lord led him to Jesus and the 12 and says, if you just do what I did, it'll work. And so he did it. A little book came in his hand called Master Plan of Evangelism by Robert Coleman. It's a small little book. He actually applied it and did it. And so after 20, 25 years, he had a church of 200,000 members simply by multiplication, raising up leaders as we do that. The church in the world, and I think this applies to us here too, is they say this, the church ought to be able to handle two things that's coming to us, either now or later. One, harvest. Can we handle harvest? Can God give us 1,000 people tomorrow? Can we handle it? That's a good question. We pray for growth. But the Bible says in the first century church, the Bible says, and the Lord added. And the Lord added. He added 3,000. He added 5,000. And the Lord added unto them as they did body life. The Bible says Jesus, God added to the church. Let me ask you a question. If God would add 3,000 to us, can we handle it? Who said yes? Can we? Can you disciple 3,000 people tomorrow? So maybe we can. But I'm telling you that we have to prepare for it. And the way to prepare for it is to raise up leaders to do that. Second thing we must be able to handle is hostility. Can we handle hostility? See, if the church can't handle harvest or hostility, it's weak. Hostility means if tomorrow all the buildings are gone, the building is gone, we don't have any land or building, would Northwood continue to exist powerfully and grow? That's the question. And so we always have to be working towards knowing that the church is able to get better at handling harvest and handling hostility, working towards both of them. And the best way the global church has found, and Jesus taught us, but the church in the East and Latin, South America, is the fact the way they do this, because they live it, they actually live under hostility, they do have harvest, is through these small units called cells that are able to multiply, are able to grow, are able to expand. The church in Bogota, how do you build a building to house 200,000 people? How do you do that? You know, their building of 5,000 was their leadership training center. But they rented, they have an arena like the American Airlines Arena they rented on Sunday and did 7 services on Sunday. So how do you manage that, though? I mean, imagine trying to hire staff to do that. You know, the taxi driver that drove me from the airport to the hotel at the conference I went to, I was talking to him. He was a member of that church. And so I said, so what are you? He said, I'm a regional director of sales. I said, how many sales do you manage? He said, 300. So I said, are you on staff? He goes, he's driving a taxi. Are you on staff? He goes, no. He laughed at me. He says, you're not even considered to be on staff unless you have 500 cells. Well, the church had 42,000 cells all over the city, Bogota, Colombia. And I said, so you're not considered. How many go to each of your cells, teams? How many average? He says, about 10. So he's saying, you're pastoring about 3,000 people. That's a mega church pastor. Are you not on staff? You know, it's pretty funny. We get 200 and we want a massive staff. We get church planners that come here with not one disciple and they want $250,000 to start churches. This is our mindset. So I need 400,000. Why? Because I need sound systems and building. You don't have one disciple. It's a different way of thinking. And I think God wants to move us in a place where we think more like the first century church, where we're moving as far as the body life happens in these small units, and that it's scalable, and that we can handle harvest. If God sends 5,000, boy, it's assimilated into groups and leaders where they can be trained and disciples, the hearts, healed and restored and mobilized towards ministry. Or if somebody comes and takes away all the buildings and the land tomorrow, Northwood continues to grow and multiply and reach the city. And that's what we do to prepare. What do these changes mean for coaches, for you as we go along? And I said, a lot of these things are being done by you guys. I'm not saying we're doing anything new. I'm saying that God wants us to begin to look at developing a more of a cell concept of ministry in small groups. I've assessed, and we've assessed many coaches, and I'm telling you right now, this is not about Omar. Here, right here sitting, there's fivefold ministers here. Like, I've met teachers in assessing some of you. There's teachers here that ought to be equipping you and me to teach. I've met pastors who have the gift to help us shepherd people. You know, apostolic leaders within you. What do I mean by that? I mean people who are starters, entrepreneurs, can help us think differently, outside the box. You know, prophets, prophetic people. And so it's about the body life. It's about us. What's the gifts? God's given us gifts here in this room. And I'm saying let's deploy the gifts to equip the body for the edification of the body of Christ. And it's really some, the way it grows is that God utilizes every one of us and the gifts that God has given us to do this. What does this mean as far as changes? The commitment from, let's say, a coach to a shepherd, and I would say all of you or many of you are doing this. It's that it's not a 1 week, it's not an hour a week commitment, it's 7 days a week commitment. The idea that if I'm a coach over someone, over a team, it's not, I'm not committing to 1 hour a week and I'm done. You're actually committing to be a shepherd to these people, to this group of people. Growing up leaders, also shepherding people. If they're ill, in the if there's somebody goes to the hospital, your team ought to be there before the pastoral staff gets there, right? I mean, and you do that well. I can tell you that Northwood does that really well. That the body life rushes there. The team, your family gets there. They supply that. And that's really what we're asking you as a coach to be, and many of you are doing that. Other things, too, that will be coming up is more training. And this is assessment feedback that I got from you guys, a lot of you. It was the issue of training, doing more training in how do we develop leaders. What we're putting together is also a leadership development track. Like if someone is in your team and you've identified a Timothy, or you know, you've identified a leader, you know, a Lydia or a Timothy. You said, this lady can lead, or this guy wants to lead. What we're putting together is that you can send that person to a lead, to a training that we'll have that will train him how to be a leader, a cell leader or a team leader, and teach him how to lead one. Practical things. So that you don't have to do all the work. It'll be shared. We'll have a leadership development track we're putting together to be able to send someone and says, someone tells me, Omar, I want to lead my own team. Perfect. Man, bless you. What do I do next? You do this next. Go here, go here. And then after this process, you'll be equipped to then launch out and start one from scratch or with someone. And so we're putting that together as far as training. So more training. Video training, we'll be doing video training. It's not all the training will be come to Sunday class or come to, but we'll put some on video, and so you'll be able to go on our website and look at some training there and how to do these things as we grow. And the third thing is really intentionally raising up leaders. One of the big ideas or the big concepts when it comes to cell churches or team churches is this idea of multiplication. And I can tell you, and you know this, that at Northwood, that is what we're praying for. Lord, how do we get that heart of multiplication? Like, how do we multiply? You know, how many teams are represented here this afternoon? Maybe say, let's say 50 teams. If 50 teams would be intentional about raising up one leader in that group, one leader, and then launching them in 6 months, then you have 100 teams. Imagine a multiplication effect if we're intentional about leadership development. And what I mean leader, I'm not talking about leader the way we think about leader in the West. That taxi driver was a leader of 300 cells. I'm talking about Jesus kind of model, a leader that lives their lives by example, models it, are faithful. Paul told Timothy, find you what? Faithful people. That's the only criteria he told him to look for, faithful people. Because you can train faithful people, but unfaithful people, no matter how gifted they are in the kingdom of God, they're not. God can't use them. Because the principle of the kingdom is faithfulness. If you're faithful in the little, God says, I'll give you more. That's the kingdom principle. Here's another one. If you're faithful in what is another man's, I will give you your own. If you're faithful in what is another man's, I will give you your own. These are all kingdom principles based on faithfulness, to be faithful. Key principles as we train. Let me just close. See, I did my half an hour. Let me just close with this verse. And then I'm going to just open it up for a little Q&A. Matthew 13:47 says this. It says, the kingdom of God is like a net. The kingdom is like a net. That's what Jesus says. That his kingdom operates from the concept of a net. If you look throughout the Bible, there's a lot of the metaphor of a net is used quite often. But I did a study yesterday on net, just a brief study on the negative side of net. Do you know the enemy also uses net? There's a lot of references to the devil setting up snares of nets. Habakkuk, you go down to the Bible, the enemy uses the exact same metaphor and tactic to trap people through what he called the snare of a net. Proverbs talks a lot about the evildoer setting the net as a trap. But Jesus says that the kingdom is like a net. Then he says this, Mark 1:17, follow me. Follow me. If you follow me, I will make you what? Fishers of men. Well, he gives us the methods, net, and he tells us what he wants us to do. He tells us what he will make us if we follow him, fishers of men. Back in his days, the net was a means of catching fish. You know, the pole fisherman, the one, that's what we have in the West. When I tell you fishing, you immediately think you and one pole, right? Because in our mind, in our culture, in our context, fishing has been reduced to this individual exercise of me winning somebody to Christ. But back in Jesus' days, his concept of fishing was net. If you look at this, for example, a picture of this is a net. The nodes, if you look at where the nodes are, or the little, where it's knotted, each one of those, metaphorically speaking, each one of those represents a team, one unit. So if you look at how all the units are set, the kingdom of God is like a net. If we have these, and God wants us to build these, what I call nodes or knots, strong enough where they have great leaders, and then we tie them together to common vision, common training, communication, building a team within leadership, you begin to form a net that you cast. And Jesus says you cast it into the world and you haul it in for a catch. There's a little saying, a little parable that says, when a spider web unites, they're strong enough to tie up a lion. It's an Ethiopian parable. When a spider's web unite, they're strong enough to tie up a lion. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. The vision is to create out of all of us these teams or cells, whatever we call them, into these units that we can put all over North Tarrant County. But the strength of these nodes are based on leadership, because I'm telling you, your team is only as strong as the leader that leads the team, period. Your team represents you as a leader. And so our goal is really not creating something vastly new, is to strengthen and to build you as a leader and invest in all of us so we become stronger leaders to lead, better shepherds, able to hear the voice of God clearer, ministering to those God has given us in a responsible way. And the way we'll do that is to really strengthen leadership in training and mentoring, multiplying leadership, and then connecting the cells or the teams through body life and leaders. You know, based on the assessment we received from you guys and all the paperwork we did, there was three basic requests that we gathered from all the different notes we took. There's three overarching kind of requests and need that you all expressed. One was releasing lay leaders to be pastors, in creating a release of the body to do more pastoring so that more of the body life happens within the teams. Two is more training. Where are we going? Train me how to do that. Let me know how to do this. So more training. And thirdly is a focused vision, common vision and purpose, so that together we all have a common vision and we can envision this net. Do you have the second picture? The one with the bigger, broader net? If you can, in your mind, think when Jesus used the metaphor nets or net, that he was envisioning this net. It looks like this, with every node as a team, connected by common vision, leadership, common focus, training together, that as God, by his Holy Spirit, casts this net out into Tarrant County, that then God will add to the church what he wants to add to the church. But that we would be faithful as leaders, to be the best leaders, to be trained, to be the best shepherds, and also raising up other leaders to come alongside us so we can multiply and create more teams. In John 21, it says that Jesus told them to cast their net And they hauled this huge haul of fish, and the Bible says, and the net did not break. The net did not break. Wouldn't it be incredible that we create such a net? And I think it's here. I think God has done a great job, and Northwood is unique in the culture that Bob has created and other teachers have created, in that there is a culture of openness towards moving in this direction, because I think a lot of the teams already are operating here. It's just coming together in more training, more vision as we move forward, and also utilizing the gifts that are present here, the gifts that God has given each and every one of you. I've met some tremendous leaders, as we assessed, that can actually equip us to do things better as pastors, as teachers, evangelists. I mean, evangelists, to equip the saints, how to be evangelistic, and how to reach out beyond our comfort zone and see what God does. Prayer also is important. The issue of prayer, how important prayer is to these things. A study was done in cell churches all over the world, and it was really funded by a church in Louisiana. This gentleman went out, traveled the whole world for a year, and he studied all the cell churches, and here was his one question. What makes a great leader of a team multiply? What makes a great leader? And he, what he did was he took the top 10%, what he called multipliers, of every church, and he went all over the world, South America, Africa, Asia, and he went to all these cell churches, and he asked, can I interview your top 10% of people that tend to multiply quite often? I want to interview them because I want to find the mark. What are the attributes of that leader that makes them leaders that multiply? And he did a study, and this is what he found out, just in a nutshell. He found out that some of the best leaders that shepherded and multiplied and created a multiplication effect were, they were both male and female, so they were not gender. They had nothing to do with gender. Both genders multiplied. Second, he also found out that introverts and extroverts multiplied. So it had nothing to do with personality. We always think personality is major. Oh, he'll make a great leader. Look how boisterous he is. Oh, he look at him. And then the quiet person, no, they're not going to be a good leader. They're too quiet. Wrong. Has nothing to do with personality. Both introverts and extroverts multiplied were tremendous multiplier. Again, educational level, no. They found, you know, very educated people, and those who were not educated, both multiplied. So it had nothing to do with multiplication. I mean, education, gender, personality. But here's what they found out. That the leaders that were the top multipliers in their churches and disciplers had an incredible prayer life. Like this is the one attribute they all had. They prayed at least an hour for the team every day. Every day, they prayed for their individual members every day for an hour. And he said, of course, these are data that you can't really prove, this is it. But he, in his heart, God showed him, because he asked them, how's your prayer life? And he found a direct correlation between multiplication and being fruitful to prayer. Now, that might sound basic and simple, but the power of God. Guys, these teams and cells, there's no magic to them. I mean, even cells around the world, they'll tell you these are just systems. They're good systems, but that's not really the power behind these. It's the Holy Spirit and prayer. It's when you allow the Holy Spirit to move through your meetings and you minister to people in the power of the Holy Spirit, where people's lives are touched. That's the power behind the teams or cells or anything we do. The cell concept only facilitates the work. It's a great system because it facilitates growth. But the power behind it is prayer. That we as leaders learn how to pray for our people and begin to trust the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to move in a powerful way in their lives. And allow the head, Jesus, to minister to his body. So I say all that to say, as a church, as Northwood, what we're doing is we're looking at our teams, identifying them. Here's a team, and how can we pour and invest and to the leaders, you, myself, coaches of teams, to invest, to build leaders, to multiply them, and then to reach out and touch your community in a very powerful way. So it's not so much new, it's a new concept. It's employing and applying what God wants us to do to create more leaders and multiplication and to see the power of God. Let me tell you something. Teams, if you're a coach of a team, and I'm going to end with this. Why? I asked this today. Why would people want to leave the ball game, NCAA game? Why would they want to leave other things to come to your meeting 1 hour a week? Because there's a lot of distractions here. Do you agree? I mean, there's a lot of competition. There's a lot of things vying for that hour. Many things. People get discouraged. Why do they want to come? They don't show up. They don't want to show up. And here's the reality. Why would people come to your meetings? How can you create meetings where people will say, you know what? I've got 10 other things I can do, but man, I want to go to that meeting tonight. Why is that? Anybody can answer me? Why would they, what creates that? The love. Love, which comes through the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Romans that the Holy Spirit sheds abroad in our heart the love of God. What else? Relationships. That helps. Accountability helps in a practical way. It does. The presence of God. It's the Holy Spirit. They know when they go there, when they leave, something happens to them. They met with God. And they leave either impacted by God, somebody said something, prayed for them, and they leave. We have a round table. Brian's created a round table where we invite church planners to come from the city. And they come from all of the city for one hour a month to eat lunch with us. We found out that as we minister to them and we pray for them, they anxiously want to come back. There's something that says, I want to encounter God. And the more we pray and the more we create an environment of the Holy Spirit and more we do that, the more people long to be there because they encounter Christ in your team. See, me sufficient is not good enough. I will not draw them. I'm not that gifted. I don't have that personality. Long term, sustainable, for people to come see Omar once a week. But I tell you, if I, as a leader, create an environment when they walk in my house or my meeting, the presence of God is there. They will long to come back. They will run to your meetings because what they get is refreshed, empowerment, healing, a sense of purpose, and God in the midst. Christ in the middle of your team is the key to all we do. If not, it becomes just another meeting. And if you have good food, they'll come. If the food is not good, they won't come. But if Christ is there, it doesn't matter what you serve. If his presence is there in your meetings, they'll come running to your meetings.